you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, November 10th, 2017. It's been like a trip to Israel for me this week, Jason, and as you've been on a number of trips with me, it's like
that trip to Israel where you got your lips sunburned couldn't sleep and you were sick.
Yeah, that was the first one with you, yeah. Not that kind
or the
of trip.
Other 27 trips.
Yeah. Well, it's the fact that, you know, the first day, the excitement builds, and it just gets better. And then people are saying, this trip can't get any better. And then the second into the third, they're like, this is phenomenal. If I go home today, I will be satisfied. And then the fourth and fifth, and they're like, and then the crowning last few days in Jerusalem and communion in the garden tomb. And it just keeps peaking, and people are like, this is just phenomenal. Well, that's kind of how the week's been. Just if I accounted what went on Thursday and Thursday night would be enough, but it's been an incredible week as we've launched the Prime Life Times, and that's getting circulated, and had another person call in and wants to subscribe to it, so that's kind of fun because it can be picked up in over 100 area locations, but people want it sent to their home, and just great feedback. And we had a meeting last night at the Olive Garden. Thank you, God, for Jason Hodges there, and their accommodations that fed us, and we had the whole team out. Everyone, the key people that are involved with the Prime Life Times, from our editor-in-chief and the editorial staff and vice president of operations and the graphic designer and account reps and distribution team and office manager. Anyway, so it was a great gathering, over 20 of us, and we're just excited to continue to pray up and see how God uses the Prime Life Times in the days ahead. But a couple things before we jump into the book of Exodus. I'll begin with a joke and then get progressively more spiritual.
A joke?
Yeah. This is a new column that we're entertaining the idea or thinking about including in the Prime Life Times. It's going to be called something like Laughing Matters, and it'll be where people will submit various wholesome jokes and little fun things, fun little stories. But this is called Three Wishes.
Three Wishes, all right.
A sales rep, an administrative clerk, and their manager are walking to lunch when they find an antique oil lamp. They rub it, and a genie comes out. The genie says, I'll give each of you just one wish. Me first, says the administrative clerk. I want to be in the Bahamas driving a speedboat without a care in the world. Puff, she's gone. me next, says the sales rep. I want to be in Hawaii relaxing on the beach with my personal masseuse and an endless supply of pina coladas and the love of my life. Puff, he's gone. Okay, you're up, the genie says to the manager. And you'll identify with this, both of us being former managers at the Jewel Food Store. The manager says, I want those two slackers back in the office directly after lunch. Wah, 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 wah. So we're entertaining the idea of having a column or a page devoted to Laughing Matters, creative jokes, and light humor. So that was something we covered last night at our gathering. We've featured World War II stories by Kathleen Jennings, and we're working on the December edition. In fact, our deadline's like a few more days, and we already are getting the December edition all put together. The Trivia Corner, The Wordsmith, the crossword puzzle we've already added in November, and we'll continue those into the future. But Marianne and I came up with an idea midweek, and it's going to be called, we're thinking, Delicious Destinations. Mm. And we'll feature a different restaurant and talk about their food and service. So we're working that out to have a special restaurant picked out, and then Marianne will do a story on it. So Delicious Destinations. Read all about it in the December edition of the Prime Life Times. Well, I was mentioning how this week continued to just get better and better and better, but I'll take us back to Sunday. I don't know. Have you met Oliver before, the guy from Africa that I said is going to be opening up a restaurant here, replacing Piatto's? Follower of Jesus, fired up about his work and calling here in the United States. He's actually raising funds for a hospital in Zambia. But as of the last few Sundays, when Piatto's is closed here at Lincoln Square, he opens it up as a kind of a introduction to what he'll be serving when he takes over Piatto's space and has a African barbecue on one end of Piatto's, and at the other place where they serve food, he'll have various fixins, more American style. But on Sundays now, from 12 to 5 here at Lincoln Square in the food court, it's called Stango Cuisine. And these are the four items he served this last week. And that's why I told you, the bear chair and Larry Bunning, Budget Tours, and Peggy, and Kelly, and Tom, we all gathered. And we all thoroughly loved it, ate everything on our plates. And they have this beef stew. And you know how beef stew, you usually get that gristly meat or fatty meat. Every piece of it was tasty. I was floored that it was that good. And then he has this, well, I don't know what you'd call that, yellow rice with other fixins and onions and carrots in it. And that was very tasty. And they had this bean combination, which was very good. What was the other thing? Let's see, Larry and
Skip had some kind of sausage, because he was telling me about it last night.
Yeah, what is it? I'm trying to look. Hungarian sausage. So usually we talk about Polish sausage. This was Hungarian sausage, really big. And, yeah, chicken curry. Anyways, great taste. My goal this Sunday is to invite, like I told everyone, invite at least one friend. Let's run them out of their food. Let's have enough people.
Let's run them out of their food.
Yeah, so there's no food left. So if you're not doing anything this Sunday after church, come to Lincoln Square from noon to 5 p.m., Stango Cuisine. In fact, we might even do a story on him in the coming days in the Prime Lifetimes. But he's a believer. 10% of all of his profits will go to One Dream Foundation. That's a hospital he's helping build in Zambia, Africa. He and his wife are followers of Jesus, and just a ball of fire. You'll really enjoy it. So this Sunday, 12 to 5, come over to Lincoln Square in the food court, and let's visit together and let's eat up all of his food. So anyways, on Thursday, we began with our English conversational class, I don't know, 70-plus international students. It's the next six-week series. We'll take a break on Thanksgiving, but so we have five classes. Great bunch, but as it ended, over 20 of the students stayed for a Bible study.
Oh, wow.
And so Dave Krabiel and his sidekick Sam, I think there was like 14 or so in here and 8 or 10 out there, but they're going through the book of John. So I sat in here the whole time listening to them talking, and they all took turns reading. So some are here with the intention to maybe just improve their English, but many of them were asking questions. What does it mean to be baptized? And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Oh, no, that was the other class. Oh, they were, yeah. So, yeah, the other class, Jenny Gorin was taking her group of six or seven students through the book of John. And so Dave and Sam, they're taking this group, this 20 or so, through the book of Mark. And so there was some interesting things as they were talking about John the Baptist and what does it mean to be baptized. And interesting, a number of seekers and all the instructors felt like the Holy Spirit was working through them and through the text. You know, when you read the Bible, things happen. And so very encouraging to see that many participate and stay after the English conversation class, and that was kind of fun. And then last night with our whole team at the Olive Garden restaurant, being energized, praying up what God's going to do with the Prime Lifetimes, and just the response. So, yeah, been a powerful, powerful, God-filled week, and can't wait to see what he does next. But it's kind of like, you know, Lord, let me have a little rut for a few days. Let me be bored, if you will. Let things just kind of settle down. You know, these high-octane days, as much as I love them, I think I could kind of rest from God doing some unique things. And yet he sees fit to continue to impose his will on this world. And I think we just need to fall into place and say, okay, Lord, use us as you see fit, and continue to just awaken our minds and hearts to walk in cadence with you. So exciting times here at the Great News Radio Center. Let's see, I got that. Oh, so the book of Exodus, a favorite of many. I'll begin reading from chapter 3, verse 13. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers have sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" What should I tell them, God? What should I tell them, Jason?
What should you tell them, Mark?
What should I tell them? Tell them that if God tells you to do something, it's best you just follow suit and do it.
Well, you know, as God's messenger, Moses needed to be able to tell God's people God's name. Now, that's interesting because God's people had known for centuries what his name is. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, it said, to Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, the people began to what? Call upon the name of the Lord. It's the first mention of worship in the Bible in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. And God's name was certainly familiar to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Genesis chapter 14 and 22, it says, but Abram said to the king of Sodom, I've lifted my hand to the Lord, God most high, possessor of heaven and of earth. Mm. And so when Moses asks what is his name, it's not as if they don't know his name. So what Moses is really asking is he's saying, what does your name mean? He's saying, what kind of God are you?
Hmm.
What is your nature like? Now, we have to remember that God's name is based on the Hebrew word, which means to be, meaning that God is the one who always was, always is, and always shall be. He is faithful. He is dependable. He is the God who calls himself in the Bible, I am. And that's interesting that God says, I am. Because that's the same exact thing that Jesus said through the book of John seven times. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. And what's interesting is because God is the great I am, it means that he knows the beginning from the end. And so God was able to tell Moses exactly what was going to happen when he returned to Egypt. In fact, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, go gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Israel and say to him, let the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. God says to Moses, I know the beginning from the end, and this is how it works out. I mean, imagine before you even do it, God tells you how it's going to go. But Moses doesn't even hear that. What is Moses' answer? He says, beginning in chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, but behold, they won't believe me. They won't listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. I mean, how many of you have come with the message of God? You've come with the message of Jesus, the gospel of his saving grace, and people have dismissed you and said, how do we know the Lord appeared to you? How do we know the Lord spoke to you? Now, I don't want us to kid ourselves when it comes to this, because like then and now, when Moses says, they won't believe me, what he's really saying is he's saying, I don't truly believe here. I'm struggling myself. And at least what we know about this situation here with Moses is he doesn't believe enough to be obedient. See, when you share the gospel and people say they don't believe, what the problem is that they don't believe enough to be obedient. And what does it mean to be obedient? It means to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Moses doesn't believe enough yet to be obedient. He was concerned instead about how he was going to look in front of the Jewish elders, what they might think of him. Not what they would think about God, but what they might think about him. But I love that God, by his grace, gives Moses three signs to convince the Jewish elders that he is and was and always shall be truly called God. And this isn't a new thing, right? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, for the Jews demand signs. And so in Exodus chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, it says this, the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. And he said, throw it down on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. And he put his hand inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. Then God said, put your hand back in your cloak. So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and he took it out, and behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. And God said in verse 8, if they do not believe you, or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe the first two signs, or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile, and pour it on dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile shall become like blood on the dry ground. This is a remarkable sign when you think about it. The shepherd's staff is absolutely ordinary. absolutely ordinary, just like Moses was. I mean, this was just something that a shepherd carried around that let him, you know, they were shepherd. And yet God gets a hold of the ordinary and turns it into a snake. Listen, friends, God takes a hold of that which is ordinary and makes it extraordinary by his power and by his might. Corinthians tells us, so that these jars of clay might show the surpassing power of God. And so, listen, there's a great lesson here for Moses and many of us who are still having trouble believing that we can do what God calls us to do. God used a stick to show Moses how he can take everyday ordinary things to accomplish extraordinary things. By giving the sign, God was saying, look, Moses, you may have your doubts, but let me show you what I can do. See that stick there, Moses? Let me show you what I can do with that. And listen, friends, if God can do all that with a stick, imagine what he can do with Moses. Imagine what he can do with you. I love how Francis Schaeffer says this. Consider the mighty ways in which God used a dead stick of wood in such a way that stick of wood became a banner cry for each of us. Though we are limited and weak in talent, lacking physical strength and mental stamina, we are not less than a stick of wood. But as the staff of Moses had become the staff of God, so we must give ourselves to becoming the people of God. Then we can truly become useful in God's hands. See, Exodus 4 emphasizes that much can come from little if little is truly given to God. Mm-hmm. What Moses should have learned from the stick was that in order to be used for God's glory, he had to place his life in God's hands. Listen to that again. In order to be used for God's glory, Moses had to put his life in God's hands. In order for you to be used for God's glory, you have to put your life in God's hands. And Moses goes on and he says, oh Lord, I'm not eloquent either in past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and of tongue. He says, I'm not a good speaker. You've given me great signs, but I'm not a good speaker. And it's here we just see again that Moses completely misses the message. The great I am is all we need in every circumstance of life. It's foolish for us to argue continually, I am not, in light of the great I am. You see, because this comment that Moses makes is really a criticism. Moses was blaming God for not giving him the gift of gab, being able to make him an eloquent speaker. He was implying that if God really wanted him to go out, that he should cure his speech problem right then and there. As if God's calling of him was not enough, he needs a better version of himself in order to serve God. How many of you have done that? Say, God, if only I could do this and this and this, I could really serve you. And listen, God called you just as you were so that you might again show his surpassing power. The problem is not the better version of you or what gifts and things that you have. It's you putting your life in God's hands and allowing God to use you. He wouldn't have called you if he didn't think you could do it.
I liked how you began this passage where you're talking about if God had told us what the future was going to behold and lay it out like Moses should have just jumped on board.
Yeah.
And yet we know the end of the story. We've read Revelation and we know how it ends. And so we, in fact, each one of us, each one of the listeners, should live in that assurance that God's already laid out. We're the victors. Well, we're the victors in Christ, and eternity is our destination. And we can live in that confidence that God will work and walk and live and abide through us. So we kind of know the end, and yet we live way below that.
Well, it's amazing because, like Job, how does God answer Moses? He says, who made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? That's Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11. And these questions by God are a reminder that he made us exactly the way he wants to make us, the way he wants us to be. He gave us our eyes and our ears and our mouth. And God obviously gave us our abilities and our inabilities and even our disabilities. They all come from him and he uses them for his glory. You see, it's only us and our inabilities do we see our limitations while God sees the possibilities. You know, I think of there was a young boy that we knew when we were in the Peoria area, and he was in the Special Olympics. He had a disability, and he was in the Special Olympics. And in every area of this young man's life, you would think he is less than. And he struggled with that because people do it. But when he got in the Special Olympics and got on the field and did weightlifting. When he got on there and he did the weightlifting, There was no inability. He won a gold medal every time. He used to say it was so funny because he would say, so many people see my disability, and all I see is my possibility. And in one way, I said, you know what? His name was Tim. And I said, you know what, Tim? You know what your gift is to me? God has used you to humble me. God has used you to humble me. And so it doesn't matter our disabilities, our inabilities. God only sees the possibilities. And God has equipped every single one of us, no matter what you think about yourself. God has gifted you and given you every talent that you need to do what he's called you to do. He made us just the way he made us for his glory. I love how the Apostle Paul, who we all think is awesome, we read the New Testament, we go, awesome. And what does Paul say to us? So instructive. He says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. He said, you know what? The best parts of Paul is not Paul. The best parts of Paul is what God does with Paul. And listen to me, friends. The best parts of you are what God does with you, through you, and in you. It's not about your inabilities, disabilities, your giftings, and your talents. Friends, it is about you giving your life over to God and letting him use you powerfully in light of all of those things. The best part of you is what God does with you. And so, friends, today be encouraged by that. The world wants to discourage you. They want to point out your flaws. They want to say, well, if you were thinner, if you were this, if you were that, if you were this. And listen to me. God doesn't see any of that. God instead says, I got something for you to do, and I'm going to send you. And what he's looking for is a group of people who are willing to say, here I am, send me, like the prophet Isaiah. Whether it be toil and into trouble, inability, disability, no matter what, he's looking for a people to declare the promises of his name.
And all of God's people said, amen, that'll preach. In fact, this Sunday you're preaching on the glory of God,
the fifth in that
series on the Reformation. We'll be looking forward to tuning in on the Tuesday and Wednesday edition of Market Men, but I like seeing it live.
So. Live is so much better.
Live is better. This Sunday, Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. Be there. Or get talked about. Nope, be there or be square. Nope, be there. Just be in church. Be somewhere.
Yeah.
Be there or be somewhere. There we go. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.